Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm sure you're getting you know this verse by heart now, I trust, and we're going to go on and take a look at this subject of headship, then another situation, another relationship that we have in which the subject of headship is addressed, and look at this relationship in detail. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." There is an order that the Lord's made, and we fit into that. And this afternoon, the relationship that this the subject of headship is, that we want to consider this relationship of the church and the child of God. The church, and we that have been saved and then called of the Lord, in addition to being saved, to be a part of His church. We've been baptized by His church, become a member of His church. And so in these relationships, as we seem to see in most of the cases, there's always two parties that are involved. And so the parties in this case for the child of God would be the church itself and the Lord. And of course, the way that it's working is we're getting instruction from the Lord about how we should be obedient to the Lord relative to our relationship to the church, right? I mean, those things are there. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. These are all going to be scriptures that you're familiar with. I trust that that's the case. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see here in verse 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." And we talk about coming to the house of God, and we've dedicated, I mean, these facilities, this building and our fellowship hall and all that, the property that we've been blessed with here, it's all dedicated to the service of the Lord. But right there, turn around, look to the right and look to the left and look behind you. Go ahead and do it. All right, you look around, right? Each one of you that's a member, we're the house. We're the house. We call this the house of God, but this is a building. We've dedicated it. This is not the church. Now, try to refer to it as the church house. You'll be better off in what you convey like that. It's easy. We say, "Oh, I'm going to go down to church." Well, what we do is we go down and meet with the church. And we, the church, the people that the Lord's added here, we are the house of God, a spiritual house. This is going to burn up, isn't it? I'm glad we've got it. And thank the Lord for those that are willing to power wash it and paint it and all that and keep it up. It's great. And pay for the supplies and everything to do that. But we need to keep it up because it's a testimony. It is a testimony and witness to the community. But it's not the building that we're all about. It's the house that the Lord's built us in, right? Lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a whole subject that we could pursue. And holy, and it's not just talking about pastors. Right. You know, when you go and you try to you witness to somebody about somebody's need of salvation, you know, you're doing an intercessory kind of thing there. They need to be saved, and you know who can save. You've got the message of the gospel and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The need for someone to flee the wrath to come and the judgment to come. And so there is that intercessory thing that's done there with the child of God that carries the message to those that are in need of it. Now that's stuff that the priests used to do. And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices in our worship and our praise, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. "Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, ordained of God. And what, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I mean, what is more precious to God the Father than His Son? Amen. I mean, there's nothing more precious to Him than His Son. Yet He's made us accepted in the Beloved. He loves His Son, doesn't He? Is the Son in the Beloved? Yeah, and we, having been saved by the Lord, we're in the Beloved too. Whoa, that's a tight circle. That's a tight group in the Beloved, right? And He says here, that this cornerstone is elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded, won't be ashamed, won't be confused, won't be perplexed about the things of the world. "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." Is He? Is he precious? Do you believe? Is he precious to you? I tell you, what else matters other than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, if there's any meaning or anything that matters to anything else, it is so because of Jesus. Amen? Yeah, that's the right perspective. And so he's precious. Oh, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The head of the corner in this spiritual house. To those that believe not, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed, and so on. I talked to a man this week, you know, and it's just the way we are naturally. Talked to the man about his need of salvation, if he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and, you know, right where he wanted to run was what other people were doing. He wanted to run about this being a hypocrite and that being a hypocrite. Man, I said, I'm not talking about anybody else but you. And your sin and the need of your soul, the value of your soul, and Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't want to get into a thing unless I can, carry it out to the end. So you can't carry nothing. You can't carry a thing. You need to receive the Lord as He comes, as He is. Not make a decision about other people's failures. You know, well, once He saves us. Boy, he's precious indeed, isn't he? When he came to us and he showed us our need, he showed us our guilt, showed us the judgment that we deserved, and then showed us Christ. That there was hope, that there's salvation, that there's liberty in Christ. Boy, he's precious. He's the chief cornerstone, isn't he, of this spiritual house. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, We're just like a club, aren't we? And the thing is, we're not a club. We're the church of the living God. And that's something he's done, not what we've decided to do ourselves. He's done that for us and with us and in us here. Colossians chapter 1, let's take a look over here, a few verses. Talking about this relationship, well, we see here that Jesus is the head of the corner. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are which are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him, and they were created for him. For him. That's another thing that the world hates. I am my own. I will do myself and with mine what I well please. No, you were created for the Lord. You and I were created for the Lord and to honor and glorify and praise Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He holds it all together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, right? He's the first one. He's the one that came back to life, took His own life back. He raised from the dead to set the precedent of how it would be for those that are His. He's first. Took his own life back. Firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. A brother said some time ago, and I like the way it is. It said Jesus isn't number one. He's above number one. There's no competition. The Lord's not even in the competition to be number one. He's preeminent. He's up here. He's up here where there's no race, right? There's no contest. But we see here, in verse 18, that he's the head of the body. Now, I've been told by some, and I guess it can be, and those that believe universal church, you know, we don't hold a universal church doctrine in any way. The church is not universal. The church is not all the saved of all the ages. The church is not all the saved that are on the earth. The church is local, visible, right there. Where she can be seen, right there where members gather together in a place, wherever that might be, at your house, my house, or here at the church house, when we meet together for the purpose of worship, that is the church. You can see her. We don't believe that the church is universal in any way. Some brethren talk about the glory church. Well, I mean, I don't know why. You know, we talk about being in glory with the Lord, and they have a thinking that that's going to be some kind of universal church. Well, no, man, everybody's membership done got moved. I know that's bad English, but everybody's membership just got moved, and we're all. Is there going to be anybody not there that's supposed to be there? Everybody's going to be there. And, you know, there won't be a need for a PA system there. Won't that be something? But there'll be a whole lot of us there, right? And so, gathering of the Lord's church is not universal. It's there. Everybody came to be there, the Lord's church there in glory with Him, right? And so, but this thing about the Lord being the head, it's misunderstood by some that if Jesus is one person that is the head, well then how can he be the? He's got to be if he's one head, then there's got to be one body. No. We're talking about the Lord, and He's made individual churches, and He's the head of every church. The Scripture comes to us and speaks to us corporately about the church. When something is being described about the church, it'll be referred to talk about the church. It's not talking about one big church. It's talking about the church where we are, that church. The Lord is head of Olmsted Baptist Church. He's the head of Olmsted Baptist Church, as He is the head of Sunnyview Baptist Church, where some of us were Friday, right? He's the head of New Testament Baptist Church, right? He's the head of Julian Baptist Church. And He doesn't have any problem with doing that. And so, well, you know, we've got one head. You know, you think about that in your mind. You've got one head and then all these bodies. How can that be? It's reconciled in the Lord. He's the head. He's the leader, is what that's speaking about, right? In verse 18, He's the head of the body, the church. So here the church of Colossae was being written to, right? And the Lord was head of that church. And He's also the head of Olmsted Baptist Church. It's speaking here about the principle, the institutional sense or institutional instruction, not the church, one church, but the church where you find yourself at. In chapter 2, we come over here, and verse number 9 of Colossians chapter 2, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, so you want God? He's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. It's all right there in Him. You're not lacking if you just have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know God's one God, but He is manifested, He's shown. For Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Right? In whom... okay, let's skip down to verse number 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, respect of a holy day or a new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, worship of angels, intruding to those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in it by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, see capital H, that's a name, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. If you got a big universal church, how can joints over here and members over here nourish them? How can we nourish somebody at Julian? But we can, being together today, we can nourish one another, can't we? And we get that from the Lord. We get that from the Lord Jesus Christ. It flows to us from Him, and He is the head. Turn over here to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We pick it up and say verse number... it's a big long sentence, isn't it? Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Number two, what is the riches of his glory, the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Number three, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. See, that power was manifested in that, and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, right? Reprove the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Right? Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, verse 21, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So in this relationship, we see that the Lord is head of his church, isn't he? Indeed he is. In chapter 4, we see another mention of this, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Here speaking about the unity, the Lord prayed in John chapter 17 that all of his disciples, all of his children be gathered and be unified in him and the Father, that we would be one with him as he is one with the Father. We'd be there, unity in the Lord, gathered together to him. Verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4:13, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, and that's a scripture that we use in our like in our ad that we're going to put in the guide. We use that because that's what we need to do. We don't need to be hard or mean, but we need to stand. Okay? We're not necessarily being faithful because I think some brethren have taken the position that if they're hard and if they're mean, that equals faithfulness. No, the truth, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, is what the Lord wants. That's what he wants from us. Now, we may get excited. I might get excited. And as you know, I hope you know this about me. Sometimes when I get afraid, I look mad. I wish I wasn't that way. But when I get scared, I look like I'm angry. And we've got those frailties with us that we need to try to overcome. But we need to speak the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. What are you doing to edify the body? You know, the Lord's the head of the church. There's nourishment that's supposed to be going on in between. We all at times in the course of life may need to receive from the body. But you know what? There needs to be times in our life that we're also supplying to the body too. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and he's put us together. We're supposed to be nourishing and edifying one another. May the Lord help us we not always be on the receiving end. Now, some of our membership, they get up in years and they can't come and all that. They're in that situation that they have need, right? But as we have life and we have blessing in our life, we need to seek to edify, don't we? Sometimes we are on the receiving end of edification, but sometimes we need to be on the giving end of edification too. Amen? I mean, it's the way it needs to be. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we've got that which the Lord provides us through his word, but we've got that which we need to be actively a part of. Are you a taker? Don't be a taker all the time when you can be a giver. Amen? See, and the Lord knows. He knows about us. He knows our situation. Are we in a situation that we can give? And if we don't, I'm not talking about money. That money is, we're not even talking about money. Talking about you. Talking about you. Are you a taker? All the time take, 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 take. You're not meeting your part as a member. Sometimes we need to take. Sometimes we get sick. We gotta have surgery. Sometimes we have hardship and we need help. And sometimes that might be long and drawn out for some. But then when we can give, when we can edify, we need to do that. You understand where I'm coming from? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you come and seek to enjoin the church to edify, to give, to build? That word edify is talking about building up. We don't need to be terror downers. We need to be builder uppers. May the Lord help us in that. The Lord is the head in the church. Chapter 5 over here, part of what's taken us here, look here, and what taken us in this consideration here in Ephesians, verse number 23 or verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So he saved us, redeemed us, and made us his own. Colossians. I did a duplicity of scriptures. Okay, so we see that the Lord is head of the church, and you know that. We'll just reaffirm that here in that. So then that relationship that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ is there over the church. And then we have this instruction to the church. What is the church? The building? No, it's us. Okay, so then that instruction comes to us as a church, but what it does is it falls on our individual ears, doesn't it? It comes to us. We are members of the church, and we are to submit to Christ. He is our head. Okay, so then let's break that out now as an individual member, okay, that's hearing this from the Lord. What is the individual's member's relationship to the church? Okay? You understand? So we've got the instruction of the Lord to the church. Well, the church is us as individuals. And so that's going to be manifested in how we conduct ourselves. If we break ourselves out of that and we take the child of God that's in his church, we have this instruction that comes from the Lord, and how are we to be to the church? We see that the Lord's the head of the church. Okay? It's one of those times could really use a graphic, maybe. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're there close. And Ephesians chapter 5. Let's back up to verse number 21. We read verses 22 and 23. Look what it says here. Let's get the whole, try to get the whole sentence. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do that collectively when we meet together to worship, but we should be doing it during the course of the week, that personal and private worship of the Lord that we need to engage in. Look what it says here in verse number 21, submitting to yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, I am to submit to Olmsted Baptist Church. I say, well, that's kind of tricky. You're the pastor. But it's still the case. It's still the case. I'm a member, too. And whatever the church moves and operates and says should be, that's what I need to submit to as a member. That's what we're to submit. We have a connection one to another. I'm not to be here and be a part of the church when everything's great and the way I like it, but then if something, and then we're talking about Scripture, and we're talking about the Word of God, but something comes contrary to what I think or what I want, then I bail out. That's the Lord doesn't expect that. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, we've got the instruction from the Lord. Our relationship with the church is at the directive of not one another. Brother Jim, I think that you ought to treat me good, and I believe that you ought to pray for me, and you ought to seek the salvation of my children. You know, we don't decide one with another what our practice and what our pursuit should be, do we? We've been instructed by the Lord. I've been instructed by the Lord that I should pray for you, desire salvation for your children, that you be edified and we be edified together. You see what I'm saying? You know, we've got that from the Lord. Well, the Lord says we need to submit one to another. We got a responsibility one to another. And it's not when we just like it, but it's when the Word of God comes a contrary to what we might think or believe, too, because we can get out of the way, can't we? Back in Colossians chapter 3, let's take a look over there. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, and we need reminded of this because the world is just so, the programming and everything, I can't help but Andy Griffith, the whole thing with Andy Griffith is what lie are we going to tell to make it better? You know, that comes at us, and the thing is, we hear that stuff and hear that stuff, and we'll go to operate in that way. Look what it says here. This is to a church, okay? This isn't to people outside of a church. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now, ye also put off all these. Put off anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9, lie not one to another. Why are we instructed that way? Because we can do it. We're subject to do it. And we don't need to lie to one another. Because we need to be subject one to another. But I might be tempted, or I'll be tempted to lie to you to keep you off my back if you're crowding my sin. How's that? Is that pretty plain? Right. Lie not one to another. I said the other night, now I've thought about that, what I said, I think it was Wednesday night, I said, what do we have to prove one to another? We don't have anything to prove one to another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. What we need to do is love one another. Right? We need to love one another. We don't have to, if anything we have to prove is to prove our love one to another. But we don't have to pump ourselves up to make another feel good about us. We've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have to prove anything one to another about what we have or who we know, what we can do. We just need to be joined in the love of the Lord and seek to build one another up. Seek to help one another. Amen? Yeah. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, because that's what the old man would do. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. 1 Peter chapter 5, back there. In 1 Peter chapter 5. So we're taking a look about how we're subject to the church and how we have understanding of that from the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll go ahead and let's back up to verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, I'm an elder, and I'm giving instruction to the elders. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for pay, but of a ready mind. It's a calling of the Lord is what it is. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You know, in one way of saying it, as pastor, I'm the spiritual leader. That's part of what I'm, part of my responsibility and duty. We had a great work day yesterday. But understand this: when it comes down to work day, we don't need to be, or the work that needs to be done here on the facility, on the facilities and stuff. You don't need me to tell you what to do. You know what to do. Just like you'd take care of it at home. Take care of it. Now, don't go buying gold leaf, right? We all agree we don't need to be putting gold leaf on anything. And there is an element in which I lead. Now, how do I lead? And I'm just talking about work day. How do I lead in work day? Well, unless there's some hindrance, I'm sick, or there's some need that I've got to go to and go do, then I can be an example in leadership in a physical thing in the church by what? Being here. You see what I'm saying? If something needs done, grab a hold of it and do it. Grab a hold of it and do it. It'll be okay. When somebody grabs a hold of something and does it, let them do it. Maybe they wouldn't do it the way you do it. Well, if they need help in the right way, step up there to help. But don't take over. For folks that are of a way that just see something and just go take care of it, sometimes that's hard for us because we want things done a certain way, and so I can be that way. I understand that, and I got to work against that. If the color is a different color than what I'd pick, don't worry about it. As an example, okay. But if it needs to be done, we all need it done, and not a one of us can do it all. Right. Amen. And so, whether we have chicken or whether we have barbecue, I do not care. All right? Because I don't need to dictate everything that happens in the church. Right? But then when it comes to spiritual matters and teaching and preaching and such as that, I'm responsible for that, right? Right. Okay? So you see that? For us to function as a body, there's needs, and there's things that need to be done, and there's leadership that needs to be there, but as in all things, there's a balance in the whole thing, okay? You paint your house. I'm using the example of painting. You paint your house. Well, this house needs painted too. And when you see it that it needs paint, then grab a hold of it and paint it. If I can help you by going and getting the stuff or being there to help in something, or you need some tools or whatever, I'll be glad to help in that, right? But you understand what I'm getting at, okay? You know, I'm not wanting to disassociate myself from things, but I don't need to be involved with everything. My calling here is to be a minister of spiritual things to you. That's my number one job, right? Okay? And so here he says, elders, feed them, right? Verse 2. Willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, verse 3. That's what I'm getting at. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. I'm not a prince over you. I'm not a king in training over you. I'm your pastor. Mainly, number one, dealing in spiritual things. You might come to me about the physical things in your life looking for spiritual application of the Word of God to that. I'm supposed to be there to help you for that. But if the carpet needs replaced, take care of it. Amen? And take care of it the way the Lord would want us to take care of it. Now, getting in a fuss about it, that wouldn't be the right way, would it? So then be willing to take care of it in a right way. Is that clear? Am I making sense? Am I saying we've got a problem? No, we don't have a problem. I'm not saying we've got a problem. I'm just saying we need to think about it and understand it and go that way, okay? So pick you a job. If I can help you, do it, all right? Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's what I need to be. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Listen, what's our relationship to the church? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Yeah. Subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, it's the balance between saying, you know, I think maybe we could do it this way. I'm talking about physical things. I'm thinking maybe, you know, I see that this way we could do it. Some of us have got just experience in different things more than others. It's just that way. And we say, I think maybe we could do that. What do you think? Say, well, yeah, okay, well, we could do it this way too. So, okay, well, if that gets the job done, let's do it that way. And be willing to moderate and the way a thing gets done and be spiritual about it by manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in it. Now, if we want to buy doors and put them in sideways, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Right? And so we can. I'm not talking about any kind of extreme, but there is a right way that we can go about it. We need to submit one to another. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Indeed, indeed he does. Matthew chapter 18, being subject to the church. This is familiar to you. We'll just read this quickly. The Lord gives instruction here about offenses. And I tell you, whenever you and I don't follow this, we're disobeying the Lord. Moreover, verse number 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Brother Jim, it doesn't work. Listen, it won't work if we don't do it. And if we don't pursue it, if it's something that we just can't forgive, but we've got to go ahead to our brother and sister and deal with it, then we've got to go ahead and do it, because otherwise it'll fester and bitterness will be the result. It just is going to be that way. And so he says, if he trespass against thee and you can't just forgive him and let it go, all right, because love does cover a multitude of sins. You know, am I going to be what we might say nitpicky about things? I can let anything that comes along offend me. You know, I might not like your glasses and get all tore up about it. I know one man that claimed to be a child of God got tore up about a brother's boots that he was wearing. You know, I mean, unless they're, you know, they're saying something weird or whatever. I don't like these shoes. I'm trying to wear them out. These are called my sissy shoes. That's what they're referred to at home as, my sissy shoes. And you won't listen to another thing I've got to say today, will you? If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And boy, it's sweet and good when it's that way. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Of where? Your friends? Your neighbors? No, the church. Gets short-circuited, doesn't it? One goes on one, pastor goes to a member and tries to talk to him, try to help him out about a thing. Maybe he's concerned about or sees, as an example. And then next thing you know, half a dozen people in the community knows about it. Nobody in the church knows about it. And when the church hears about it, they've heard about it from people outside the church. May the Lord help us. And he has, hasn't he? But if he will hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. You know, if we don't follow it, it won't work. But if we do, it will. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And here's how we're subject one to another. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Won't hear the church? Won't listen to what the church says? A heathen is what? Someone does not profess God. A publican. You have thought about that reference. Let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. The heathen part I understand about. The publican, the thing about the publican, as I understand it, you know, that whole thing with collecting taxes in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ was that the rights to collect the taxes were sold out by Rome. So that would be one person in Rome negotiating. They'd say, I'm going to buy the rights to collect taxes for Logan County I'll give you $5 million for that. So then they come home and then they've got their supervisors, so to speak, their foremen that are running the show in Logan County. And then they've got they were brutes that were on the streets looking to collect the $5 million plus. That's how they made their profit. So they pay Rome right off. They buy the rights to collect the taxes. So the one that was a publican, a tax collector, their in Judea and Galilee and Samaria and all that, they were hated because many times they were extortioners. They took more than what the rate was. They were abusive. They maybe would even come back again if they were still falling short and weren't on target for the $5.5 million that the boss was expecting they would collect. And so the Lord says, if they won't hear the church, let them be unto thee as a heathen, someone that's not saved, or a publican, someone that was really, really abhorred by the people. That part I don't understand. But someone that's a heathen, what are we to be to them? Are we to shun the heathen? We're to be a witness to the heathen, aren't we? And were to be a witness, like the publican, the man that had sold out his country, because that's what they were. They essentially regarded them as traitors. They had sold out their Israel for the sake of collecting these taxes, and then they came involved with that whole system that was for the most part abusive. Let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Well, what are we to do with the heathen? We're to pray for them, aren't we? We're to be a witness of the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, aren't we? It has nothing to do with shunning them. With the publican, I guess what it was is that they would sought that the Lord would change them, huh? Yeah. But an issue between you and I gets brought to the church, and whatever the church says, that's what we're to abide by. Because you know what? It's at the threat of being put out of the church if I don't. Now, is that being subject one to another? Yeah. We got a responsibility, brothers and sisters. May the Lord help us and not come to that case in any of our lives. And it goes on to say here, verily I say unto you, verse 18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, there's no one else that can enter into that and change that. If it gets bound here, it's bound here till it gets loosed here. No other church can change it. No other preacher, no other pastor, no other child of God. Nobody else can change it. Because it's bound in heaven. If it's bound on earth by one of the Lord's churches, it's bound in heaven. And so it's serious, isn't it? Because God's taking note. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So even if the church is small, it's bound there in heaven. We don't have time to continue on with this part. So of our submitting as children to the church. I'm gonna stop right now. Stop here for right now, so we can go ahead and take a look at these other points. But again, this headship under the doctrine of headship, we have a relationship to the church. We get our instruction from the Lord as individual children. He tells us how we're to be in the church, and the church is subject to the Lord, and we as members are subject to the church, and that's of the Lord. It's a healthy design. It's always the way it is with the Lord. He makes a healthy design. It's a good thing. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hadn't been a message to you. What you need to do is you need to submit to God. That's what you need to do. You need to submit to God. The Lord tells you plainly, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And without Him, you're lost and undone, hopeless. You have no hope outside of Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. That his blood can wash your sins away, and that His death, His burial, His resurrection, that it was enough to make you white as snow and to give you eternal life and to give you a no-so hope of being with Him when this life comes to an end. We point you to Christ. Submit to Him. That's the problem that you have right now is your submission to Christ. You're not. For we that are saved, isn't it good to submit to Christ? It is, isn't it? It's great. It's great to have one over us, especially so kind and gracious and true. It's just a blessing.